All right, let's go ahead and get started. We are going through portions of this book. I don't know how much we'll do, but Freedom's Ring, Life, Liberty, and the Pursuit of Salvation. I had to look that up. I was getting ready to say happiness. But today is, what is being a Christian? What is being a Christian? And I started out with a quote. I don't know where it came from. The gospel is so simple that children can understand it, and it is so profound that studies by the wisest theologians will never exhaust its riches. Now, think about that. It's on page 35. Think about that. Is that you? It isn't smarts that gets you to understand the Bible. It's not how smart you are. It's whether you have a spiritual understanding through the Spirit of God living in you. You could study the Bible every day for the rest of your life, and if you have not the Spirit of Christ that'll guide you in all truth, you'll come away a train wreck. You won't know right from wrong. And you, when you see a truth, you must accept that truth. You can't reject it for political reasons, for any reason whatsoever. You and I must be corrected by the Scripture. If we fail to do that, then God is likely to just sort of turn off your lights. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2 if you're not following along in the book. We're going to look at verse 4, so it's actually not written in there. It's a footnote. But we'll go through a lot of 1 Corinthians chapter 2, quite a few verses, I should say. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, when I say verse 4, the Bible says, "And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the prince of this world that come to naught. And we speak the wisdom of God in the mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory." One of the things I went into a little bit further there than I intended, but just again, he didn't use enticing words. Preaching is not about how eloquent you are. Now, nobody likes a boring preacher. I had some people telling me they were at a church in Florida, and they said, "Man, I love the church, but oh man, the pastor's, you know, he's just boring." I went, "Well, you know, I've heard it. You know, I've heard boring preachers before, and I understand that. Still got a responsibility to go to church somewhere." You know, you still got to have, you don't forsake the assembling yourselves together as the manner of some is, so much the more as you see the day approaching. So you have a responsibility to go regardless. You just need to go where you can find somebody that you don't pass out while you're sitting in the pew. You know, that's why we keep it so cold in here. Keep you guys awake. Hey, it says your faith is not to stand, verse 5, in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. That's where your faith is to stand. And then he says, we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world. And that's what you have to understand, too, is that the wisdom of this world, is it comes to naught. There's nothing to it. You cannot know God with the wisdom of this world. You know what the wisdom of this world can be? Evolution. Abortion, no sanctity of life. And by the way, I'm going to preach a message on abortion as soon as I can either find my notes. I have one set of them, but I had quite extensive notes on abortion. It's not a fetus. It's a baby in the womb. The Bible says she's with child and great with child. That's the two descriptions. So what is it? It's a child. That's it. You know, there is no... You know, it's a fetus. And, you know, I think I told you I was on the radio and I'd call in and I'd always, this guy would have people on there, and he had this abortionist on there one time. And I said, well, it was when they had that RU486 pill. And I'll probably repeat this when I teach on it. But think about that, RU486. That was the number that they gave that pill that was an abortion pill. Well, you know what 86 in somebody is in the military. What is it? To kill somebody. So the pill is, are you for 86ing a baby? Now, how does that happen? Are they oblivious to that? Is it intentional? Are they mocking God and life? Are they blind? Is it a combination of all of them? But RU 486 was, so I told them that on the radio, and they about went nuts. And then they said, listen, you guys are debating when life begins. I don't believe it begins at conception. You don't? No. You have a live sperm and a live egg. They don't become live when they get together. They're already alive. They're already, you say, now I know I'm getting technical. When does a new life begin? Okay, conception. But when does life begin? That's always the question. I don't believe it begins at conception. I believe that there's two live things that come together. And it doesn't take inanimate objects that, no, they're two live things. Life is already there. Now, whether it is conception and a new life, and I'm preaching on abortion, I don't want to do that. I want to do that whenever I get into it, because I want to go over it extensively. I want to cover all the scripture. And again, I've got all these thoughts and I've got to quit because it's going to get me talking about it more. So when you're looking at salvation, the next verse I have in the book is that the Holy Spirit seals the believer and becomes his spiritual guide throughout the remainder of his life. That's Ephesians 4:30. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed until the day of redemption. The day of redemption is when your body is redeemed. Remember, you're 2/3 redeemed right now. Your spirit and your soul is redeemed at salvation. Your body is not redeemed until the day of redemption. The day of redemption is at the resurrection for the dead. And it's at the rapture for the living. So if you're saved at the rapture, that's the day of redemption. If you're saved and you've died and gone on to be with the Lord, your body is still decaying. People come up to me and they ask me, is it okay I just went blank on that. When you cremate, thank you. Just read my mind back there. That's a scary place to be. Is it all right to cremate somebody? And I said, look, it's not the Bible way. This is how I always answer. It's not the Bible way. I have loved ones that want to be cremated. I say, you do what the will says. It's their choice. It's not like God can't put it back together. Think about the twin towers that came down. You know, many of them burn up on those floors, and then it came crushing down, and then they're all, then they dig it up and take it elsewhere, and it's scattered all over the world, really. Is that impossible for God to bring that body together? No. We're all going to turn to dust. So I just tell people, look, it's not the Bible way, but, don't worry about somebody that's been cremated. And, it's possible for God to bring it all back together. And we need to be understanding. Same thing in abortion. And I'm going to delve in it just a little bit more because I want to say this. Somebody has an abortion. You have to keep in mind, it's not just an inanimate thing. You can't condemn every person that's had an abortion. They are told it's just a choice, it's not a baby. Now, you know what changes their mind is when they see that ultrasound. That's why the Save a Life places, or the places that fight abortion, they show them the ultrasound. And there's that heartbeat and that child moving, and it's formed, and it doesn't look like a fetus. But what I'm telling you is just be conscious of the fact that there's two sides to every coin, and there are people that have had an abortion that you may find it's just the worst thing in the world, but, it's not. It's bad. And millions have been aborted. But there's a young girl that made a bad choice. And she can be as forgiven as anybody else. And that's what we've got to keep in mind, because if you don't keep that in mind, you're going to not have the opportunity to minister to somebody. They're going to feel like, look, I'm not welcome anywhere. I have this secret. And they have to keep it a secret. If, you know, I mean, the ones that didn't, you see them, well, I had 32 abortions. Some lady was wearing a shirt. You know, you can't have 32 abortions. By then, you're sterile. And by the way, a lot of sterilization processes take place at an abortion clinic. If you know people that have had abortions and they can't have children later on, many times that's what happens. You know, they make it so that womb is not able to conceive. And the reason some of them do it, whether by accident or what, but it happens. I know, I believe that for a fact, just based on people that I know that have had an abortion. So the Spirit's going to be your guide through life. That's John 14:26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, this is on page 36, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. So the Comforter, that's his name, he's the Holy Ghost, he's going to teach you all things. So who's going to teach you? It's not just the preacher. I can teach till I'm blue in the face and nobody get it. Because you have to have things that are spiritually discerned with the Holy Ghost that'll lead you in the right direction. So, if you're saved, you have the Holy Ghost. He's your Comforter. He will teach you all things, and He will bring to remembrance whatsoever I said to you, because there are things that Jesus taught that they didn't understand. When Jesus said, I'm going to the cross, what did Peter do? He rebuked them. When He did go to the cross, and He was resurrected, the women came and told Him, they thought they were idle tales. He said that for that very reason. He will bring all things to remembrance so that they would remember what He told them and then understand what the death, burial, and resurrection is all about. We need spiritual discernment. There are things that are dark and confusing about the Bible, but you can understand them with God's help. The indwelling Spirit confirms the inherent godly logic of things that seem foolish and incomprehensible. Why did God become a man? Why did God allow man to put him on a cross? Doesn't that sound ridiculous that the God of the universe that said, let there be light, and there was light, and He created the world? How can you say that He went to a cross and died? Because He laid down His life. No man took it from Him. You see, all those things can make sense as long as you've got the Holy Ghost in you. It's going to lead you into all truth. If you don't, you can't understand those things. In Hebrews, if you want to look there, Hebrews 10:32, he says, but call to remembrance the former days in which after ye were illuminated, ye endured a great fight of affliction. See, once This is a closed book right here, this Bible. It's confusing. And then all of a sudden it becomes open and logical and infinitely helpful as a resource to understanding truth. But that only happens once you're illuminated through the Holy Ghost that lives in you, the Comforter. That's the only way. That's why, listen, you can fight until you're blue in the face with an atheist. And they're going to, you know, they're not going to understand. An evolutionist, once they've accepted the lie of evolution, it's hard to reach them because it's either evolutionist creationism. There's no middle ground. I don't care what they call it. It's either God created or evolution. You can't have a mixture of the two. No, everything reproduced after its kind. You have no transitional animals. Show me a monkey that is halfway from an amoeba, or show me those transitional things. And by the way, the reason they got to come up with all this time is because they know that it can't happen in 6,000 years. So they have to say millions and millions, or sometimes now it's billions and billions. And do you realize that everything came from a rock? An inanimate object. I mean, you think about how hard it is really to have the faith to believe in evolution. And a single-celled amoeba, how does it reproduce? Nothing makes sense with it. And listen, I don't spend my time really teaching on evolution and debunking it because it's just as insane as it can be. One day I may teach on it. I'll probably teach on the flat earth before I teach on that. You do know that there are people that believe the earth is flat. And we've been lied to. And they're using the scripture to do it. Why? Well, it says we're on the foundation and there's pillars and, you know, the four corners of the earth. And, oh, man. I got up one time and I said, you know, you'd have to be stupid to believe that. I forgot. Church member contacted me and said, if I was there, would you have called me stupid? And I went, no, I wouldn't have. Didn't realize you were listening online. And I wouldn't have done it had I seen you. I said, but I forgot. And I just said what I believe. And I don't try to offend people. I'm not gonna just offend people to offend people. If I'm not gonna spend the time to teach it and disprove it, then I really shouldn't say those snide comments. You know, but it happens. Why? Because I'm as human as anybody else. You'll say things, I'll get done really fortunate as you get older, you forget what you've said anyway, so it really doesn't matter. I went to UPS the other day, and I had four packages, and two of them were some return books. So I was like, I don't even know what I ordered. I was just telling them, I don't even know what I ordered. So I took the four packages, picked them up, and walked out. And then I said, yeah, it's a surprise. And you know, they were all laughing. And I said, yeah, as old as I am, I said every order is a surprise. And they're all laughing. And so I pick up the four packages. I get home, so I rip off the label because we reuse the boxes. You know, we're trying to save a tree. I can't tell you that story yet. So I rip the thing off and I open it up and there's some plumbing parts. I mean, we're talking PVC shutoff valves. And I'm like, wow, I am surprised. When did I order this? It wasn't my order. They gave me the wrong box. And so my package was from my parents sending me something down here. And so I didn't get it. So it was 6:15. I couldn't take it back. And so just sitting there, and then then we got on the roof. So I'm on the roof until 10 o'clock. At 10 o'clock, I had somebody show up for an appointment. So I got an appointment from 10 to 11:30. About 11:15, they called me. I said, yep, got the wrong package. Oh, we're so glad you do. And I said, I'll bring it up as soon as I can. Well, I need a shower after being on the roof, because I went right in the meeting and didn't have one then. It was pretty gross. So I take the shower and I get up there and I bring the box in and get the other one. I said, remember when I was telling you guys about not, you know, being surprised? I said, boy, was I shocked. I was trying to figure out how I ordered those plumbing parts. And they all just laughed about that. But we were at the what was that? First Watch? Is that a restaurant? First Watch. And so they're, you know, they're all fresh food and, you know, good for you stuff and hugging the tree type of thing. So, you know, we get these paper menus. And, you know, here's your menu and, you know, you take it. And there was another place we went and said, you click on this QR code, it brings it up on your phone. So you have the whole menu right there. I'm like, yeah. Are you kidding? I said, can I have menus? So they gave us menus and we all took them. The next table took them. Everybody's like, you can't. Bring me an iPad or something. So anyway, this place that really hugs trees and spotted owls and all that, you just watch them. They walk over and they take your, she's crumbling up your menu and putting it under her arm. And I said, think of the trees. The preacher just started laughing. I said, I'm just kidding. Just kidding. But I'm thinking, I mean, what are they doing out in California? Do you think maybe they're crumbling up those pieces of paper? I mean, you see how wacko the world is? Oh, you can't waste paper and you can't. Yeah, I agree. But don't be a hypocrite about the thing. It might be spotted with COVID. It's more likely a spotted owl came over and, you know, tooted on it or something. Anyway, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, look at verse 9. It's going on about this thing. It says, but as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. You've probably heard me teaching this before, if you can remember that. Notice the verse 9. Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither entered the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them to love him. That's Old Testament. That's why the Old Testament is different from the New. That's a quote from the Old Testament. Those in the Old Testament, they didn't see it. They didn't know it. They couldn't understand it. Why? they didn't have the indwelling Spirit like we do. Now, the Spirit did indwell some of them at times, but He would leave. And it wasn't the loss of salvation when it happened. Samson, the Spirit left him several times and came back on him. People say, oh, if the Spirit left him, like in Saul's case, oh, he lost his salvation. That means that David got saved when he was anointed king because the Spirit came in him at that time. Saul got saved when he was king, when he was anointed king. You see, it doesn't work. You can't get the Spirit when you're anointed king and lose your salvation whenever God's finished with you as king. That's the contradiction. But in this verse, it says in the Old Testament, their eyes couldn't see, their ears couldn't hear, they could not understand. But look at the next part. It's highlighted in the book. But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. You know what it means to be a Christian? You have illumination from God. Now, it's up to you the extent that you get it. You know, the Bible says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. There are going to be a lot of ashamed people that did not learn their Bible, did not study their Bible, did not put in the time to learn about God. God wants you to understand Him and learn about Him. That's what life's about. The more you understand Him, the closer you're able to draw to Him. That's why it's a Bible teaching church. It'll always be a Bible teaching church as long as, you know, I'm here and I'm alive and you're here. This is what we want. Why? Because there's so many people that don't go to a church and all it is, you know, let me give you one verse and I'm going to run for 15 minutes or 30 minutes and give you a little homily on one verse. And then you're going to go away and go, boy, that was so entertaining. That was so uplifting. But what did you learn? Did you learn about God? Did you find out what it means to be a Christian? What is it that, you know, how do you know you're a Christian? Why do people doubt being a Christian? Because they don't know what it is to be one. But the Bible is clear. You ought to be illuminated. You ought to have this Bible speak to you when you read it. And I don't mean audibly, it isn't that, but speak to your heart. There ought to be a difference made by the Scripture in your life. Look at verse 11. 1 Corinthians 2:11. For what man knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of man, which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. You see, you have the Spirit of God in you. He knows the Father. And then He reveals that to you as you submit to Him. What's the problem? People quench the Spirit. People grieve the Spirit. If you quench the Spirit and grieve the Spirit, you're not going to grow the way you ought to grow. And that's going to be a problem. And that is why many Christians are baby Christians all the way through their life. Do you realize you can be saved 40 years and stay a baby? It happens all the time. There are many, you know, I know before I came here, I was at the Methodist Church. In the Methodist Church, I didn't learn any Bible. That's why when I came here, I was like, wow. And then I went back and I was living with Tom and Ron and Dick. And I just started teaching them what I was learning here. And some of them have been saved 4, 5, 6, 8 years. And here I was saved 3 months of the Methodist, and you know, I was a month here, and then each one of them started coming over here. Why? Because man has it, Christians have a desire to learn the Bible. There is that need in you. You may not know what it is, but it's there, and it's real, and it's important, and that's what life is about. If you aren't learning your Bible and you're not growing, then you aren't what you ought to be. The Bible says, grow in grace. Yes, sir. You're a baby. You need milk. Then you need strong meat. Well, who gets strong meat? Those that grow thereby. Right. You got to grow. You got to grow. Look at verse 12. Now, we have received not the spirit of the world. What spirit have we received? But the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Isn't that cool? You can know the things freely given to you by God. And that's what He wants. That's what life is about. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth. Comparing spiritual things with spiritual. You want to know how to learn? You compare spiritual things with spiritual things, and you compare Scripture with Scripture. You don't ever take one verse and make a whole doctrine out of it. That's what the cults do. You know why people believe you got to be baptized to go to heaven? They take Acts 2:38, Acts 22:16. They'll take, they'll say, well, you look at Mark 16. You know, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. They'll say, oh, see, you got to be baptized. Or they'll say, oh, they had to be, the Jews had to be baptized in the first century. That's ludicrous. Acts 2:38. I won't get into teaching on that right now. We'll just skip that thought. But the natural man, this is verse 14, receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, but for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. The natural man, your old man, or the natural man, the lost man, cannot receive the things of the Spirit of God. What are they to him? Foolishness. You know why the world thinks it's foolish for you to come to church on a Wednesday night or any other night of the week? Because they don't understand the Bible. Of course it's foolishness. You're not going to convince somebody it's not foolish for you to spend your life for Jesus Christ. I have had people tell me, you know, I'm a CPA. I could have made millions. Didn't. Did I give up anything? No more than some of you, really. I mean, I've been blessed. I've been able to write books in the ministry. I've been able to devote much more time because of it. I've been able to use my CPA experience to help me to learn how to manage or how to deal with finances or deal with things that need to be dealt with. I needed that understanding. God's used that. And listen, I'll tell you this right now. I didn't give up anything. I gained 100-fold. By doing what God wanted me to do. And I wouldn't change it for anything in the world. Now, there's certain things I would change. But I don't know what they are right now. I just know that, of course, I'd change some things. I remember back, it was some things were, you know, a nightmare. But I don't regret giving my life to the Lord. And listen, you don't have to be a pastor or be full-time or be an evangelist to give your life to the Lord. I gave my life to the Lord before I ever became an evangelist. I gave my life to the Lord before I became a pastor. And that is why I am where I am today. Because of that. I was in the way and the Lord led me. That's a scripture in the Bible. You know what a lot of people do? They go, well, I want God to lead me and tell me where to go while I sit here and do nothing. It's not God. God says, get engaged, get going, and I will guide your path. But you got to get on the path. If you don't get on the path, you have nowhere to go. And then you're going to look around and go, well, why is everything just passing me by? I don't understand. What am I doing wrong? What you're doing wrong is while I was in the way, the Lord led me. You got to get going. You got to get moving. You can't be stagnant. You can't sit still. You can't say, "Well, I'm just gonna wait for God to do something." And you know, people say, "Well, I just wish I could hear from God." You are hearing from God. Be in the way, and the Lord will lead you. 1 Corinthians 1:18 says, "For the preaching of the cross to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved is the power of God." You know what the preaching of the cross is? The power of God. But they don't know that. The world doesn't know that. And if you don't appreciate that, there's something wrong with you. The preaching of the cross saved your soul if you're saved. Yes. It ought to make a difference. You ought to be busy trying to tell everybody you can about it. Just like that man I was telling you about was here yesterday or whatever day we were. Monday. What day were we on the roof? Monday? No? Tuesday? Tuesday. He was here yesterday. He's witnessing to his co-worker. I loved it. Man, I'm telling you what, when you're a preacher and you see somebody doing that, it's like glory, hallelujah. I mean, in other words, it's not just me. It's not just all about the pastor's got to do it. Listen, you have anybody you want me to meet with, I will meet with them. I will spend time. I will do what I can to help them. But I'm here to tell you, you don't need me. You don't need me. You can have me help, but you can do it yourself if you'll just try. But I'll tell you this, you can watch somebody else do it and learn and grow and get better. Nothing wrong with that. I don't ever want to discourage anybody from coming to me to talk to somebody else. You know, I think I think about Miss Beverly and all her family. We get a call, you know, once every couple of weeks, sometimes two or three times in a week. Pray for this, pray for that. And you say, well, they hadn't come to church. So what? It's not all about what you can get out of people. Or listen, I think you ought to knock on doors in the slums. Why? Because they can bring in a lot of money into the coffers and the offering plate? No, because maybe they can't bring anything in there. But they got a soul. So you do what you can. And listen, I got to be honest with you. I enjoy doing that more than talking to people that are very wealthy and well-to-do because they're harder to reach. I tell you, I always love them when they test me. They'll throw out a cuss word. And I don't cringe. I just go, yep, they're seeing how I react to that. Oh, I remember. Oh, so remember, I got off the roof, so I have black around. I don't even know where my watch. Oh, there it is. See, I already lost my watch. It's right there. So I had the black from being on the roof, and I noticed he was looking at it. And I said, and then I saw it, and I thought, boy, the guys probably think I'm nasty. I said, yeah, I was on the roof, and the guy says, oh, a working pastor. I like that. I said, there's no other kind. Listen. You do what you can do. I wrote on Facebook the other day. So here, let me give you this, because I didn't say this on Facebook. In 1989, somewhere in there, I broke both my arms as CPA. You know that, because I told you that. 6 days in the hospital. The CPA firm I was working with retired two partners. And those two partners decided they didn't want to be retired. So they went out and started their own business and took like $400,000 in business. So I broke them in February, which is tax season. April 15th, April 30th ends tax season. They laid us all off. I mean, they fired us. They, you know, laid us off. I mean, they gave us 2 weeks severance, said, you're on your own. And so I told a friend of mine, I said, he had his own. Now, you got to remember, I had two broken arms, so I lost a lot of my strength. And I told a friend of mine, I said, look, I want a job. He says, well, I can use a salesman. I said, no, I want to work. He says, what? I said, yeah, I want a roof. June, July, and August in Alabama. I mean, it's probably the brightest thing I've ever not done. So in June, I'm up on the roof. We had, listen, he did all the sales then. He just brought it in 6 days a week. I mean, morning until late at night. I would change clothes at lunch. I would find a place to go change clothes because I was soaked. But boy, I got in shape. Well, guess what? Who knew that in 2020 I'd need to get on a roof and analyze why we have water coming in? I broke both my arms. Now, what good can come of that? Well, a lot of good came of it. But also, many, many years later, I needed to understand some things about roofing and water flow and siding. And we did roofing and siding. So, you know, I put up the J channels and this and that. I mean, I'm no good at it. You know, I only spent 3 months doing it and didn't do it very often. But now, all these years later, it was a good thing because I knew some stuff about it. Because we're not getting anybody out of here for a month and a half even to look at the roof. You know, and by the way, we'll need to look at those. The kids were up there and they ran on our, what's the vent on top? Ridge vent. They ran on those ridge vents and, you know, squished them. And I don't know what they've done to them, but we probably need to look at getting all of them replaced. So, you know, the things we got to do, we got to do. The one thing you don't want is a bunch of water leaks in the building. Because it destroys, well, just like over here, although fortunately Bill got, you know, he scraped it and he cleaned it up and aired it out. And, you know, he's done a lot of work, and you guys got all the pews moved, and we'll need to move them back once we get the carpet back down. But, I mean, fortunately, it wasn't as bad as it could be, but it happened before. So you have to assess it. You have to fix it. And the one thing you don't want is water coming in buildings. So let me wrap this up a little bit. In Acts 20:24, look at what it says there at the bottom of page 38. But none of these things move me. Neither count I myself, my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel, the grace of God. You know, Paul said he didn't count his life as dear to himself. I mean, that's what Christianity is. It's not my will, but thine be done. It's what do you want in my life, God. And when I'm doing my exercise every morning, I'm listening to Scorbean, I'm praying constantly. Lord, I need to know what you want me to do today. I need to know who I'm going to come in contact with today. I want you to intervene. I want your will done. I want you to control me. I want you to direct me. Now think about that. If you mean that, I want you to direct me, and then by the time you get done with the day, you go, wow, was that not cool that God worked out this situation and that situation and one thing after another? You know, God is in control when you submit to His control. God, He created everything. He can take you and thump you. And, you know, you say, well, you're walking the wrong way. Boom. And then all of a sudden you hit the ground. You go, what in the world hit me? Oh, it was God thumping your head. You're in the wrong direction. That's not how God works. That's not how God works. God says you have to give up your will for His will. Jesus is our example. In that Garden of Gethsemane, He prayed, not my will, but thine be done. So look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3 and 4. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine in them. You have to understand, the world is blinded by Satan to the gospel. Now I wrote in here, and I want you to see this. Look at the middle of page 39. It has been said that Christianity is a self-propagating religion. You see, the only way Christianity propagates is through new births. That's why homosexuality is so. You know, if everybody was a homosexual, what would happen in the world? We would cease to exist.
Yes.
Now, they've gotten around that through in vitro and fertilization. You do know that, yeah, a virgin can conceive.
Sure.
Somebody asked me once, they said, well, the one thing I got a problem with is a virgin. How can a virgin conceive? I said, look, I don't want you to take this too far. I said, but think about it. Can a virgin conceive today through in vitro fertilization? They were like, wow. So that miracle of all miracles 2,000 years ago, the Satan has gotten in there. I shouldn't say that. I there people want children. It's a thing there, but I don't know that any of them should be a virgin to do that. I mean, that would be married, have a stable relationship, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, that would be more pleasing to God. But a virgin can conceive today. It's a mockery of God to some degree. But that then they told me they were agnostic. I told them that. And then as we dealt with two or three more meetings, they came around, and then all of a sudden they told me how they were saved many, many years ago, and I was just dumbfounded. But they just needed to have that one answer that to them was inconceivable, that a virgin shall conceive. And it was not so astounding anymore. So as I went down through here, self-propagating religion, those who fail to evangelize the lost and the cycle of salvation. Jesus said, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. When Jesus lifted up through the preaching of the cross, He'll draw all men to Himself. He opens the hearer's heart and the eyes and ears, and He brings conviction, and the Father draws the sinner to Himself. Look at 2 Peter 3:9. The Lord is not slack concerning His promises. Some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us. We're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The gospel has lost none of its power to enlighten the minds and hearts of the lost when it is proclaimed. The problem is, we sometimes think that God's lost His power and the gospel's lost its power. It has not. Why do we see less souls saved today? Well, most people aren't in a Bible preaching church that teaches the gospel anymore, preaches the gospel. They're looking for entertainment.
Right.
I was talking to somebody the other day about a mega church that they were telling me they didn't like it. I said, yeah, I don't either. I said, we'll never be that. And they said, yeah, they went to one. And actually, the guy was walking. I'd met him. He had gone to this church many years ago. he was riding his bike the first time. He stopped by to see me out there and about scared me to death. I was next to my truck, and then all of a sudden, he beeped his little horn on his bike, but I didn't really recognize it. And then all of a sudden, he was there. I was like, ooh. And so we talked for quite a while, and then I was walking, and here I'm talking to these two people, and he comes by and says, yeah, I got a copy of his book, and I'm looking like, you know, because now he's got a hat on, it's early in the morning, so he's bundled up. I couldn't recognize him. So I caught up to him, and I remembered who he was. I said, oh, you're not riding your bike today? No, and so on. So he was telling me about the mega church. And I said, I remember I went to one in Oklahoma. I was invited to one, and when you walk in, you know, you get your donut and coffee and stuff. And I get a coffee and a donut. Why? It's free. You know? I want a donut. I mean, if it's the ambiance, I want all I can get. But they also had two earplugs. They said, here. I took the earplugs and I said, you know, what are these? You'll see. I said, okay. They said, you probably want to put them in. So I put them in. And, you know, they don't have them in. And I'm watching the daughter and the husband and the wife and that. And I'm just looking at them. I went like this. I was like, oh, wow. I put them back in. It was as loud as anything I've ever heard in my life. And you know what they were trying to do? They were trying to get the whole group, you know, moving and almost hypnotic. And the whole group sort of going, it was surreal. I almost wanted to start clapping just to start a wave. No, I didn't. Hey, the gospel is still powerful. What does it mean to be a Christian? You ought to have discernment, illumination. The Holy Ghost ought to bear witness in you that you're a child of God. I didn't go over that verse, but it's there. You ought to know that you know that you know. 1 John says that. These things have I written unto you that believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. If you don't know it, you ought to know it. Just because you don't know it and you got doubts doesn't mean you're lost. But you better always get that settled. And don't leave it up to chance. Because it's the most important thing you'll do in your life. Let's all stand together. Thank you for your attentiveness. I do have an announcement or two before we close, but let's go ahead and pray. Lord, you thank you for many blessings. I just pray, Lord, that you would guide, lead, and direct during the invitation time.